The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, so here we are on the floor of San Diego Comic-Con at the Ripley's Believe It or Not booth, talking with Adam. There is a ton of amazing stuff in here. Go ahead and run us through the kind of things that you have.
Okay, so this is our first cabinet. This is our Star Wars cabinet. A number of really cool things in here. We started off with the Graflex camera. Obviously, that's not from Star Wars, but as you can see, that is exactly what they used to make Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. This is the screen-used lightsaber from Empire Strikes Back. It's a little different. This is a fun little tidbit about this one. If you notice the handle back in the hilt with the black bars, they actually had to add rivets to it. When they were filming in the snow in Hoth, the original that he gets given in A New Hope wasn't able to deal with the cold and kept coming apart as Mark Hamill was trying to work with it. So he decided, or the prop director actually decided, to kind of cut these little grooves in and add these little rivets in. So if you see like the New Hope one and you go, oh, it's not the same one, no, this is definitely screen used. We have the letter from the team who did that as well.
Amazing.
Down at the end of the cabinet, to kind of complete the Star Wars, we have Han Solo's blaster. It's made with a real gun as part of it underneath, and then they added the bells and whistles on top. It's obviously used by Harrison Ford, and he is notoriously tough on props. He treats them as he is using them, pretty much as it goes. So you can see it's a little bit, you know, very much screen used. But that's how Harrison Ford kind of goes through things.
It's awesome. Like, you can see where, like, pieces of it are cracked and have had to been glued back on.
Yeah, they've done a lot of work. This one is from scenes on Endor in particular. I think this one was very heavily used. So a lot of in and out, a lot of moving around, kind of working in that way.
That's awesome.
We'll swerve over this way. We'll bounce between pop culture. So over here we have self-lacing shoes. These are actually not the pair that self-laced. That was a whole different prop with a ton of layers and people under the floor. But these were screen-used, screen-worn. As you can tell, they've clearly been on somebody's feet. And even in 2015, we've still not been able to replicate them yet. So not quite there.
I love that even in the future, you can't keep your shoes clean.
Oh, no, mine are filthy.
It's funny. They're all dirty and stuff already. That's really funny to me.
Yeah. In the cabinet down there, you can see we have one of the screen-used hoverboards. Doesn't actually hover, sorry to break the news. But it's one of the ones that was carried and used in Back to the Future 2. Obviously, Zemeckis and his team put together a number of different boards. There's a really cool one with a metal bar underneath. The bar is curved, and that's how they get that bounce and hover effect in a couple of shots in the movie.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a pretty fun one. Obviously, he did a ton of work creating the kind of rotoscope technique that we know about and working on that. In the back corner over there, it's more of a traditional Ripley's cabinet. The shrunken head from the Jivaro tribe. Those are real shrunken heads. Every single one in our collection is real. There's a recipe in the office on how to do it, how to perform the routine. I'm not one to try it myself, but we do own it, and it was done by one of our old buyers and researchers. He was very, very close with them. We got a little more Harrison Ford. We got the bullwhip over there. That was used in Last Crusade. It's actually made of kangaroo leather. It's a lot tougher than cow leather and cowhide. So when you leather up kangaroo skin, it just becomes infinitely tougher. So in the scenes when you can just crack it over and over again, you need that kind of behavior. And then we round it out with the skull bowl, very much traditional Ripley's. It's a very strange bowl that they have, and we love seeing things like that. That was picked up, you know, one of our collections, something we've had for a long, long time.
So Ripley's obviously has been around for a very long time and is known very much so for being like an oddities museum and like a television show that focuses on, like, you know, kind of the human freaks of nature and like that sort of thing. And now it seems like it's branched a little bit more into like the pop culture and things like that. What are some of the things that we can expect from like the Travel Channel show as it goes forward?
Well, the Travel Channel show, I think, has some of the extraordinary humans we work with. And I think giving those that showcase to really kind of talk about what they can do and show off those abilities as well is really, really cool. The pop culture stuff is, you know, comes and goes. We see cool things. They all have stories behind them. And if it comes with a cool Believe It or Not story, we're going to take a look and see what we can do with that.
So when you're assembling these things, you know, you have all these amazing like artifacts of pop culture and then obviously things like shrunken heads and stuff. What's one of the things that you've come across that you're just completely flabbergasted by?
I think one of the weirdest things, I was actually out the back of the warehouse, which is also close to our office, and they were unloading something from a truck. This thing is huge. It's many, many feet tall. And I see them pop it open in the warehouse as I'm walking back, and it's a full-scale set of elephant armor.
Huh.
And we were just shipping that in and out. And just the pure size of the thing was truly amazing. It was mounted and everything, so you could see it in full flow. And, like, yeah, I love some of these cool things, but I really think that you're not going to see that anywhere else, right?
Like, straight up, like, plate armor for an elephant.
Yeah, it was...
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, there's a bit of kind of chainmail in there, but then big plates as well.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
So, you know, having a warehouse, is it like just, is it kind of like the warehouse at the end of Indiana Jones?
It's actually not far off. If you watch the show with Bruce Campbell, we filmed in the warehouse. So it was actually, you know, he went in our warehouse and filmed in there. You know, it is just aisles and aisles of the Stranger Things. There's like a mezzanine with smaller things as well. And like up there, you walk up there and like, oh, okay. You spend a lot of time looking around. It's pretty close. It's actually now two warehouses. We have to split. We have so much. Over 20,000 exhibits there.
Wow.
So there's always something to look at.
So adding Bruce Campbell to the show as like the host, you know, going from like back in 2000, it was like Dean Cain and
yep.
that sort of thing. Like, what dimension do you think him as a host adds to the show?
I think Bruce Campbell, and I mean, it's a little bit personal bias because I love Bruce Campbell. Pretty easy. He genuinely has an interest in this kind of stuff, and he wants to tell these stories as best he can. So he's done a really good job of talking about them, and he feels pretty strongly about the things he's talking about every episode. So he brings just a very genuine interest in Ripley's to the show.
That's awesome. So how can people find the show, and then how can people find Ripley's to go visit the museums around the world and whatnot?
So the show airs on Travel Channel Sundays at 9. That's obviously the easiest place to watch it if you have cable. I know that most people don't now. I, for some reason, am young but have cable. But if you're more traditional or more modern, I guess, Hulu should be able to air it, and Travel Channel app also has it as well. The museums are all listed on our website, ripleys.com. If you go to ripleys.com, click on attractions, or ripleys.com/attractions, you can see a listing of where we are, all of our museums, all of our auditoriums, all good stuff there.
The guy outside tried to rattle through all 38 locations. He got through about 12 of them before he's like, and then you can go look it up online.
I think I could do 12. I could do 12.
Before you end,
yes.
I want to know what the rare number one is.
What?
He knows what the... Because everything has a number.
What's rarity number one?
I actually do not know. It's so far back in the collection. It's all like numbered in our museum systems. I don't actually know what has the title of number one. I think we may be getting some things that we may adjust the number because we think it deserves it, but we'll see where it lands.
Rarity number one is straight up the Ark of the Covenant.
It wouldn't shock me in our warehouse, to be honest. I walked in like, where did that come from? Oh, I don't know. It just turned out.
That's awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.